The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you.
After John had been arrested, Jesus went into Galilee. There he proclaimed the good news from God. The time has come, he said, and the kingdom of God is close at hand. Repent and believe the good news. As he was walking along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net in the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, I will make you into fishers of men." And at once they left their nets and followed him. Going on a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They too were in their boat, mending their nets. He called them at once, and leaving their father Zebedee in the boat with the men he employed, they went after him. The Gospel of the Lord. You to imagine that you've gone to the theatre, you've gone to see a play called The Reluctant Prophet, and the curtain has just gone up, and centre stage, there is Jonah. Jonah just busily getting on with his life, doing the ordinary little things, running around, just enjoying his life. And the Lord calls him. He said, "Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, which is over in the far corner over there." So Jonah gets up and goes in the far corner over there, as far away as possible from what the Lord is asking of him. You probably know bits of the story. We only had a snippet this morning. But he goes over there, and because he's gone over there, he's got to get in the boat, because the land's come to an end. So he gets in the boat, because he wants to go even further. And as you may remember, some of you seen Jonah Man Jazz, read the story. The boat, it's very rough, and the sailors are not wondering what it is that's causing it. Jonah realizes it's him, and he says so. So they do what really they're not meant to do. Most sailors are not meant to throw you overboard on a cruise, but they throw him overboard. But of course, as you know, he's swallowed by a big fish. But the point is, he gets brought back to where he was. So center stage he is again, and the Lord comes again. So the next time he goes off to the right side where the Lord has asked him to Nineveh. Should just add, just as an aside, that Nineveh today is called Mosul. And you've heard of it. And you know what life has been like there. What it says is, it was a huge city that took 3 days to cross. You may have heard that reference of 3 days, or something relevant in the 3 days. Because I wasn't here at nine last week, I'll bring it back to you. Last week, it was the third day when John the Baptist said, "There is the Lamb of God." And that's when Andrew and Peter came the next day because his brother Andrew met the Messiah. The third day. It took 3 days to cross. Remember when Mary and Joseph lost the boy Jesus and he remained in the temple when he was 12? And they went back to Jerusalem. It took 3 days to find him. And it was 3 days that Jonah was in the belly of the whale. He was brought back, but 3 days. So there's always significance in these things. And this big city, the 3 days it took for them. And Jonah was to say to them, "You've got 40 days to change your ways." They didn't need the 40 days. But again, 40 days is that significance. We shall soon be at the start of Lent, and the 40 days of Lent there. The 40 years that the people were in the wilderness. So the 3 days, the 40, it's all important because it's the Lord always at work. And the people seized the moment. They didn't need the 40 days. It said they repented, all of them, which is, of course, extraordinary. That infuriated Jonah. So he stomped out of the city, angry, because I knew that's what they do. You asked me to go do a job, and they've done it, and he wasn't happy. because he didn't like the people there. So he stomps out of the city, and the Lord makes a beautiful tree grow up so that in the heat of the day, because that part of the world can be very hot, as you know, and he shelters, and he sits there sheltering under the tree. And then a worm comes, the tree shrinks, and he's left out, and he's angry with the Lord. But the Lord said, well, he's angry with the tree, really. And so the Lord says, but if you're angry with the tree that you did nothing to do and nothing for, should I not be right with these people? So Jonah is that reluctant prophet, and that's his story in a nutshell. But it's the three things in it. There's a call, which he does. He receives the call reluctantly, but he goes in the end. There's a warning of change to come, which our second reading picked up that very clearly. And then there's a proclamation of the word of the Lord to the people. And it's all following the Epiphany. You think of the three that came from that part of the world and they met the Lord. That's why the crib's still there, you see. That's why we're still reminding ourselves of the great mystery we celebrated. But the Lord now calls us, because the Lord himself was not the reluctant prophet. Jonah was, but we set the stage now, and the Lord is there. No reluctance there. He calls the people. Every Christian is called that. But as we sang in that opening hymn, we're called to leave old ways behind. And in a way, it's the perpetual call almost every week, every day. Leave some of our old ways behind and come and follow him. Because from our baptism onward, baptism reminds of a rejection of old ways. I realize when we're little children, that's not necessarily, but even so, there's always that sense of that. That rejection of the old ways, because we're turning to a new choice, which is Jesus. But Jesus is the one who says, repent. That's his opening line. The kingdom of God is at hand. Get ready. Change. Leave old ways behind. And that's the question for us. Sometimes the Lord calls us, and we can feel, we know exactly where he's asking us to go. He's asking us to go over there. So our footsteps take us in that direction, away from the Lord. We know that. We know that so many different times of our lives, exactly what we ought to do, exactly what we don't do. Sometimes it isn't quite as clear and black and white as all that. But it's that question, who do we seek to follow? Which value systems do we live by? Where is our heart set? Is it set on the ways of the world? The ways of the world constantly coming in, of self-seeking, self-gratification, ways of more sort of grabbing whatever is there, power, sensuality, sexuality, whatever it is, all of them that maybe transgress the ways of love. But the kingdom of God is about leaving the old ways behind, and the one allegiance is to the Lord and his will. And he says, I don't offer comfort, I don't offer that, but in me you will find all that you need. And that's why in these days after the Christmas festival, we're still growing and examining again each year afresh. What bits of the old do we need to leave behind in order that we may more effectively follow him who we profess from our baptism is our way, is our truth, and is our life?